Wallabies legend, who was recently, well, a month ago, was inducted into the New South Wales Hall of Champions, which will be celebrated at a ceremony in Sydney next Monday. He was also the boss, of course, of our successful 2027 Rugby World Cup hosting bid. Phil Kearns joining us. Kearnsy, good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. 4-1 defeat. Not disgraceful.
But, not disgraceful. Well, you would have been in your man cave there this morning.
Mate, went to swimming training early and then had a little peek and, so disappointing.
Swimming training, Kearns. You've been swimming for a long time, haven't you? You get down there to the Balmoral, is it?
I have. I was down there, down to Manly as well. But there's a little pool near where I live and there's a little squad there. When I say little squad, there was four of us this morning, so that's it. And we do about 2.5-3 Ks. So, got to look as fit as you, Loz.
It gets harder as you get older, Kearnsy, you know that. You're in good shape, though. I saw you the other day, and you looked in really good shape.
For an old bloke, you know, we're verging, we're just edged over 55. So, Laurie's a long time since you and I were in that beehive together back in 1990 at Australia New Zealand Sports Weekend, if you remember that.
Oh, a big couple of days there, Kearnsy.
I can only imagine. You're lucky social media wasn't around. But
we had a Bledisloe Cup win on Saturday, and the Kangaroos came out and tore up the Kiwis on the Sunday. It was a great weekend.
I bet it was. Well, congratulations, Kearnsy, on your accolade being inducted into the New South Wales Hall of Champions. And so you're set to be inducted along with the likes of, well, Craig Johnston, obviously went over there and played for Liverpool, made a name for himself, basketballer Brad Dalton. I guess to what extent do these achievements become more special, considering, I guess, your kids have grown up and, you know, your family can appreciate them so much more as well?
Yeah, they can, and it's really special, and they've been very kind to me. You know, kids often aren't very kind to you, but on this occasion they have been. My kids are all into sport and play at various levels, which I love watching, and you try not to push them too hard and just make sure they have fun, and for my part they're doing that. And if these little accolades come along the way, then it's fantastic, because you know they all think their old man's a dud. And every now and then you can prove your worth.
Congratulations, Kearnsy. Buddy, you talk about sport and how important it was for you growing up. And now, like you say, all your kids are involved in sport. And we were just sitting here a minute ago talking about, you know, the Australian fans watching this game of football. And look, they're disappointed they lost, but get on with it. What comes next? And, you know, no one turns up to the MCG. There's 10,000 people watching the game Australia versus England, this third one day. Where do you see Australia, particularly around your sport, rugby, and, you know, trying to get as many young boys and girls involved and to support a team like the Wallabies? Where do you see it in today's society in this country?
And I love all sport. I think it's all terrific. And you know, in my working life, I try not to hire people unless they've played whatever level of sport, it doesn't matter, but and particularly a team sport, it's you know, it teaches you leadership, it teaches you how to go on with people, it teaches you that there are all different types of people out there that you need to relate with, and it just creates a terrific bond, and it doesn't matter what sport it is, and you've got those, you know, the fans behind you, and as you guys were talking about, you know, some fans take it pretty seriously, but others, well, they're just going to have another beer, aren't they? And and all those things are really important lessons in life to learn. So I think sport is much more than just kicking a ball around or whatever your activity is. It is a great microcosm on life.
Kurt, you're a great leader, and I think it's still very underestimated leadership in sport, whether it's at a board or whether it's on the field leading the playing group. For you, mate, what do you look for in a leader?
I guess someone who's natural. They don't have to put on some sort of veneer. They can associate with all sorts of people. They can pick, the ways to treat people in a team. You know, you got your odd lunatic in the team, and you treat them completely different to the person who's the sort of the calm head and the person that's relaxed under pressure. And, you know, a captain's got to be able to, or a leader's got to be able to do that. And that's the same in business. I was recently involved in a campaign to help retired servicemen get into employment and leadership roles, and a mentor program. And, you know, the leadership skills that those guys have got, the ability to act under pressure, people often don't know that they've got those skills. But they pick them up along the way, and certainly servicemen and sports people do that incredibly well, and women.
And we relied on your leadership for our World Cup hosting bid as well. To what extent, Kernsey, was it a formality? I mean, on paper it looked that way, but I'm sure behind the scenes it was very different and a lot of hard work had to be done.
Yeah, it was. I think one of the things that fell in our favour was COVID, to be frank, because there was no travel around the world and doing your lobbying and taking people out for dinners and all that sort of stuff. There was almost none of that. What Australia had to rely on in the end was the quality of its stadia and its past record in hosting big events. You know, we've done Olympics, we've done Com Games, we've done Rugby World Cups, we've done League World Cups, cricket, all the rest of it. So Australia knows how to put on a big event. And so really, all of Australia, its stadia and its experience won us that World Cup. But leading into it, you know, there was certainly some others vying for it. But we were able to stand up on those things.
Well, we know Australians will support the World Cup when it's out of here, Kernsey, but at the moment with the Wallabies, the way they're tracking, where are they at in your mind?
I actually reckon they're right on the edge of something good. You know, the losses to France by a point, who are number two in the world, the loss to Ireland, you know, disallowed try, five injuries in that game by 3 points. They were pretty tight. This year we've beaten South Africa, we've beaten New Zealand, we've beaten Argentina. The Argies have beaten all those sides that I just mentioned as well, so they're no duck. And we've beaten England. So, you know, when we put it together, we can do it. But yeah, we've just lacked a bit of discipline. And as you gain more confidence in your team, I think Dave Rennie has made a lot of changes throughout. And the more stable team that he's picking is performing reasonably well. If we can build confidence in ourselves and not give those stupid penalties away, I think we're on the verge of something pretty good.
You mentioned COVID, and there's been a big upheaval, I guess, in the structure of, you know, our domestic competition or Super Rugby. I mean, how strained, Phil, is our relationship with New Zealand rugby at the moment?
I actually think it's the pendulum had swung one way, and it was all about New Zealand, and Australia didn't stand up for itself. We've now stood up for ourselves. We've made a point. We've you know, got a new chairman, a new CEO of Australian Rugby in place, and they've made a statement to New Zealand that if we want this to be a partnership, it's got to be a partnership, not all your way. And I think they've done the right thing in standing up against them. And I think, for the most part, the respect that we've been able to gain from New Zealand is re-emerged. We're not just going to be the patsies and lie down. So I think that relationship's in a pretty good space.
Kersey, one of the frustrations a lot of people talk to me about with the Wallabies and rugby in general, and my young bloke went to Joey's, and I've watched a lot of football, and I see some terrific kids coming through the pathways there in those school systems that rugby have got going for them. But how come rugby can't keep them, and do they do enough to try and keep these young guys in their system rather than rugby league grabbing them? Or can they compete financially as well?
Well, they're not. You know, we can't compete financially at the moment, and that's why the World Cup's so important here, and the Women's World Cup after that. It's really critical for our game. You know, AFL, I think the television deal was $2.5 billion, and I think the Rugby League deal is about $2 billion. You know, ours is in the low hundreds of millions. So that's a massive difference when it comes to being able to fork out money to young kids. And, you know, I think in a lot of cases, some of these kids are pretty short-sighted, you know, to go to switch codes and go to rugby league for 10 or 20 grand, which many of them are doing. It's big money when you're 18 or 17 years of age and leaving school. But in the long-term picture of things, if you there's a lot of money to be made out of rugby, but it's not necessarily on the field. It's what happens after the game. And I think you know, you'll acknowledge that the networks that are built up through the game for business contacts, etc., is quite extraordinary. and that's where the real benefits come in for the game. It's a lifetime decision, just not a 1 year decision. And as you know, Laurie, there's a lot of young kids that have been burnt up through both rugby league and the AFL systems for a very small amount of money.
Gee, we're in such a, you know, it's such a difficult predicament in regards to making players available for the Wallabies who play overseas. So much debate over the so-called Giddo law. Phil, is it time to scrap it and just have a free-for-all, or is that too much of a detriment to our Super Rugby franchises?
Yeah, that is the battle that you play. You've got to be able to make sure our Super Rugby provinces are well-stocked. However, you know, when it comes to the World Cup being the most important thing, it's worked for South Africa. They just have the free-for-all system, and we'll pick you. It doesn't matter where in the world you're playing. We'll find you and bring you into the squad. And if it's a quality player, then they find it pretty easy to fit into a team. It's not a hard thing to do. You know, two or three games together, or, you know, a month of training, or if even a few weeks of training, you slot into the groove pretty quickly. So, you know, I am in favour of just picking blokes from anywhere, particularly in a World Cup year.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate your time this morning, Kearnsy, and once again, congratulations on the induction into the New South Wales Hall of Champions. Enjoy and chat soon.
Thanks, lads. Great to talk to you, and appreciate your support. Thank you.